Besides, Julio won't let anything happen to me. He told me.
Girl, you got it bad. Hey, I checked the star book for Julio's birthday.
Destiny dug down into one of her bags and pulled out a well-read, much-used astrology book. Destiny didn't even brush her teeth in the morning without first checking her book.
What does it say?
Romy asked curiously.
Check this out. It says he is idealistic, passionate, and poetic.
That's Julio.
And it says he's drawn to magical possibilities and fiery relationships.
That's me.
And it also warns of the danger of fire and water meeting. It warns you to be mindful of the consequences.
Romy looked serious. You know, most of that stuff is so general, it could apply to anybody. We just make it apply because we want it to. But Julio and I were just talking about fire and water the other night. The two strongest forces in the universe. There's strength there, too, as well as danger.
Powerful vibes we're dealing with, Romy.
What about the dream I've been having? Maybe we shouldn't mess with this dream stuff we bought.
No, you will not have bad dreams tonight. Because I am here, and because we have the system, the stars are with us tonight, and dreams cannot hurt us.
Do you really believe all that stuff, Destiny?
Believe it? I live it.
Yeah, but with all of the people in the world, how can all those predictions be true? Destiny brushed her hair. It was a dark reddish color. And if it grew straight, it would have been down to her shoulders. But it was soft, puffy, curly, and had a mind of its own. Sometimes she braided it to teach it a lesson. But her hair always won and would unbraid itself by the end of the day and curl into puffs of defiance.
I never question the stars. I simply trust them.
She said quietly. Chapter 32. Julio and his father. Julio opened the front door and entered with a blast of chilly air. Spring was promised, but the evenings were still cold and damp. He carried a grocery bag and a small leash. His dad was reading the paper.
What you got there, son? Did you bring any juice? I'm thirsty.
Yeah, Mama said to bring some when I told her I was walking down to the store to get the dog food. You want a glass of apple juice?
Sure, sounds great. What's with the dog food?
I'm going to get a puppy tomorrow, Papa. From Romiette, the girl from school who I've been talking to. Remember? She's something really special, Papa.
The young lady or the puppy?
Very funny, Papa. Both, I guess. But I really like talking to Romiette. She makes me want to sing, and I can't even carry a tune.
Julio, you're not getting too involved with that girl, are you? I don't like it.
He took the glass of juice and set it down. Julio hated to disagree with his father, but there were some things his father had no business interfering with, and one of them was Romy. He bristled with instant anger.
What do you mean you don't like it? You don't have to like it. I'm the one who likes her. I am your father, and you must obey me.
Even as he said it, Luis knew it sounded old-fashioned and stupid, but he felt like he had backed himself into a corner.
You gotta be kidding. I'd obey you about doing my homework or calling when I'm out late, but I will not obey you about who I see or who I care about.
You can't make a rule about my likes and dislikes, just like you can't make me like bananas or not like pizza. try to understand, Julio. I speak from experience, Luis pleaded. Julio was not to be quieted yet. He was amazed at his reaction to this. He had never spoken to his father like that before.
You speak from fear. You're old, and you have forgotten what it's like to be young and happy, and maybe even in love.
In love? Has it come to this already?
You just met this girl.
I never said I was in love. I said you forgot what it feels like.
No, my son. I have not forgotten. Let me tell you a story about fear and about forgetting. When I was a young man, about 15 years old, and long before I met your mother, I was very much in love with a beautiful young woman. Her name was Angelina Rosina Diaz, and I knew that I would one day marry her. Her smile lit up my whole world.
I will say that's how Romy makes me feel, but you don't want to hear it.
Julio's face was set in anger. He sat on the sofa, waiting for the story he knew was coming.
Let me finish, son. One day after school, even then there was trouble. She and I were walking home together. It was March 3rd. I will never forget that day. Anyway, a large group of young men, college boys, we found out later, drove by us. They were very loud and very drunk. They screamed obscenities at us and chased us off the road with their car. We were terrified and ran in the ditch by the road, trying to escape that car. A fence blocked our escape across a field. They kept at us, purposely edging the car toward us, trying to knock us down. Angelina finally tripped and fell, and as the young man cheered, the car sped up, rolled over her, and crushed her. They drove off then, screaming and laughing. I held the bleeding Angelina in my arms until she died.
I've heard that story before, Papa. I know it's sad in the rest of your life, but what does it have to do with me and my relationship with Romiette?
I know you know the tale, Julio. But did you know the young man in the car were black? I have had a fear of black people since then, and what they can do. I will not allow you to develop a relationship with one of those people.
One of those people? You think Romeo is related to those kids from a million years ago? Give me a break, Papa.
No, but many of these black city children are somehow connected to gangs. Or they know someone who is. I have read that in a paper.
What a stupid, narrow statement, Julio shouted. You're putting everybody into one dirty pile.
What about those black gang kids in Texas? They threaten you daily. That's one reason we left, you know.
So did the Hispanic gangs, Papa. The world is changing. Our generation looks at people as humans, not as races. Suppose everybody looked at me as just a Hispanic.
It is what you are.
But I am so much more than that. I am a musician and a swimmer and a person able to make my own decisions. You can't do that for me.
I will never sanction a relationship between you and a black girl.
Luis stood then. Julio stood as well. He was as tall as his father.
Nobody asked you to, he replied defiantly.
There was a pause.
I cannot help the way I feel,
Luis finally admitted.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Despite his anger, Julio really wanted his father to understand. But still, Luis would not budge.
You cannot do this.
You can't stop me. Don't fight me on this, Julio.
You started it, Papa, Julio said sadly. Mama understands, he added.
Your mother is soft and full of love for you. She refuses to see the dangers ahead. You will understand one day.
I doubt it. Papa, what if I told you that some kids at school were treating me the same way you are acting toward Romy? Maybe they hate me just because I'm the Mexican kid that reminded them of some long-ago tragedy.
What do you mean? Is there trouble?
No, there's no trouble. Nothing I can't handle. Just some bigots who think they can run the lives of other people just like you do. Why can't people just leave us alone? I just don't understand what difference it makes.
It makes a difference to me, my son. It always will. Now tell me about this trouble at school.
There's no trouble, Papa. Nothing at all. Believe me, I've got enough trouble right here at home.
Julio stomped to his room and slammed the door.
Everything seemed so unfair, so against him.
It was still raining outside. Dark tears of rain poured steadily from the blue-black sky, spilling past his window. Even the sky could find no sunshine. He turned his stereo up as loud as it would go and let the music massage him. The vibrations thundered into his head, erasing the frustrations. He knew the music was irritating his father, but he also knew that his dad wouldn't ask him to turn it down. It would be like admitting he was annoyed. So Julio kept it loud, knowing exactly the effect it was having. He wouldn't have done that if his mother had been home. She would have quietly come in and turned it down, then asked him what was wrong. He couldn't fight with his mom. She was too gentle. His father was stubborn, just as he was, and had feelings like the bristles of a brush that scraped anyone who came too close.
Parents are estúpido, Julio thought as the rain made the outside muddy and the music made the inside tense. What is it with old people and fear of somebody different? I'm 16 years old, and he can't tell me what to do. They brought me here away from my friends and my school, and I'm not going to let him run my life. He's not gonna tell me who I should like or who I should see. He said Romy might be hooked up with gangs. I never imagined he could be so dumb. Romy is a human being, a beautiful, smart, fiery woman, and I don't care what my father says.
Chapter 33. The Scientific Soulmate System. Romy and Destiny finished the dishes and tossed a bag of popcorn into the microwave. Romy's mom peeked into the kitchen.
I love it when you come over, Destiny. It's the only time I can be sure Romy will do the dishes.
That's just because I don't have to run upstairs right after dinner and call her, Mom, Romy replied.
You ought to do what we do at our house, Destiny said with a grin. We just use paper plates.
Not while I have two perfectly good dishwashers eating my lasagna, Romy's mom called back. The two girls laughed, grabbed the popcorn, and went outside to check on the puppies. Max, the black lab father, had little patience for his offspring, who nipped at him and chased his tail. Mandy, their mother, was watchful and nurturing, making sure each of the four puppies, two black and two gold, were within sight. Destiny and Romy fed the dogs, gave them fresh water, and played with the pups for a bit, letting them run across the backyard.
At 7 weeks, they tired after just a few minutes and soon fell asleep in heaps on top of one another. Romy closed the gate and headed upstairs with Destiny. They took their showers, changed into the extra-large t-shirts they both wore to sleep in, put a CD into Romy's stereo, and finished off the popcorn. Waiting for the deep darkness of night to begin their experiment, they watched a movie and compared CD collections. Finally, Destiny could wait no longer. She picked up the brown paper wrap package and shook it gently at Romy.
"Romy, let's open it," she said eagerly. "Is the door locked?"
"Who's going to come in? There's nobody home but my mom." "But yeah, it's locked."
"Okay, let her rip. Let's see. What do we have here? A candle. They call it the specially scented, sexually enhanced soulmate candle of dreams and desire."
Smaller than it looks in this picture.
"But it smells good. Raspberry, just like they said. And here's the tape. The scientific, specially recorded, simulated stereo, sexually enhanced soulmate recording. Includes sounds of nature and the human heartbeat." "Wow."
"Good grief. Sounds like overkill to me. We'll play that in a minute."
"And this is the ointment. It's called the Scientific Soulmate Soothing and Stimulating Dream-Enhancing Salve of Sensuous Sensibilities. It says, use very small amount on the temples."
Destiny was enjoying this process, but Romy was still doubtful.
"I guess so. Look how small the package is."
Romy squinted her eyes to read the tiny directions printed on the little tube.
"It should only take one dream to reveal everything, Romy. How many soulmates do you think you have in the universe?"
Destiny replied matter-of-factly.
"Okay, okay. Don't let me dump in your cornflakes. What else is in the box, Destiny?"
"The directions. It's just a type sheet of paper. The Scientific Soulmate System. Guaranteed results or your money back. There's a tiny little asterisk here. I guess it refers to the fine print at the bottom of the page."
"What does it say?"
"I almost need glasses to read this. Guaranteed valid only in Asia and Africa. In the U.S., guaranteed valid only if package is unopened. Can you believe that?"
"Well, so much for the money-back guarantee. Doesn't look like we got much for $44.99 plus shipping." Romy lay back on her bed and laughed.
"I don't care," Destiny insisted. "I believe in this."
"Me too," Romy conceded. "Why not? Read the direction sheet."
"Before retiring, place the scientific, specially recorded, simulated stereo, sexually enhanced soulmate recording, which includes the sounds of nature and the human heartbeat, into your tape player on a low setting, about 1 or 2. You should be able to hear it, but not loudly. The essence of dreams is silence."
"I like that one. Go on."
"Light the specially scented, sexually enhanced soulmate candle of dreams and desire, being careful to use the scientifically designed special soulmate dream catcher vase that comes with it."
"Where's the vase?" Romy asked.
"I don't see it. There's a plastic cup in here. Is that it?"
"Yep. It says on the bottom, dream catcher made in Japan."
"Do you think we got rooked, Romy?"
Destiny asked in one brief moment of doubt.
Oh, here's the notebook and special dream pen. Let's see what they call these. The purple pages of passion, persuasion, and poetry, and the purple plume of poetic penmanship. You gotta give them credit. They're creative. Don't they sell these at the drugstore for 49¢? Not in purple, Destiny replied with the fervor of a true believer. Then she wavered a bit. You don't think we wasted our money, do you, Romy? I'll reserve my judgment until morning, Destiny. What else do the directions say? Place a small amount of the scientific soulmate's soothing and stimulating dream-enhancing salve of sensuous sensibilities on each temple. Only a tiny bit is necessary to capture the memory of a dream. Light the candle of dreams and desire, being careful to place it in its special dream catcher vase. It is important that all other lights in the room be in the off position for the scientific soulmate system to work most effectively. When you awaken, be sure to record the remnants of your dream on your purple pages of passion, persuasion, and poetry with your purple plume of poetic penmanship. Your soulmate is drifting in your consciousness. You must find him and bring him to reality. Oh, please, Romy threw a pillow at Destiny. These folks must think we're stupid. Destiny dodged the pillow and tossed it back with a grin. You gotta believe, Romy. It sounds good to me. Turn the lights off. Wait. Put the tape in first. Okay. Press play. You ready? Ready as I'll ever be. What do you think of the music? We turned off our CD to listen to this? Romy laughed. Sounds like the music they play in the grocery store, Destiny. You gotta believe, Romy. You just got to believe, Destiny insisted. I believe we just threw away $44.99 plus shipping and handling. The cost is of no importance, Romy. This is the moment of illumination. We are about to find our soulmates. Light the candle. Turn off the lights. Wait! We forgot the ointment. It smells good, like peppermint. Ooh, it tingles. Okay, here we go. Lights off. Destiny flicked the light switch on the wall. Darkness surrounded them. All was silent for a moment, except for the thin music coming from the stereo. See anything, Destiny? Romy asked hopefully. No, but the candle smells good. Feel a dream coming on? Romy felt nothing. She hoped Destiny had better luck. Not yet. I feel hungry. Is there any popcorn left? Destiny ate constantly and never gained a pound. Forget your need for food. This is much too important. Sleep now and dream. How can I go to sleep? Destiny moaned. This is the worst music I ever heard in my life. Destiny glanced at the digital clock radio that sat between the beds. She sat up suddenly. Oh my goodness! Romy, look at the time! We almost missed it! Missed what? I was almost asleep. What are you talking about? Look at the clock! Destiny squealed with excitement. Oh, you're right! How could I be so stupid? It's 10 minutes after 11. Are you ready? Ready. Here it comes. The magic wishing time. 11 minutes after 11. 11:11 on the digital clock. Destiny and Romy had been playing this game for years, even though they had long outgrown it. They did it almost unconsciously most of the time. When the clock read 3:33, that was a chance for a wish. And again at 4:44, and around the clock. But for only 2 minutes out of 24 hours are the numbers in perfect alignment. At 11:11, these were the most powerful wishing times.
"I know what I'm wishing for," Destiny whispered.
"Shh! Shut up and wish, Destiny," Romy urged.
Even though she didn't really believe all this, Romy figured there was no harm in a wish, and if somebody said that was the best time to do it, then she wasn't missing the opportunity.
"I'm wishing! I'm wishing!"
Destiny squeezed her eyes shut as the numbers 11:11 blinked onto the front of the clock.
"Did you wish for your soulmate to appear?" Romy asked.
"You know the rules say you can't tell your wish. If you do, it won't come true, Romy."
"I know.
Destiny, did you ever catch the Fantastic Five?"
"Once I got close. I wished on at 1:11, then I caught 2:22. At 3:33, I was in the bathroom, but I remember just in time and caught it and wished before it clicked over to 3:34. Then I just sat by the clock until 4:44. I knew I had it. I wished the same wish every time. Then my mom made me go to the grocery store with her at 5:30. I tried to explain that I had to wait 25 minutes, but of course she wouldn't hear of such a thing. So I got in the store, looked frantically for a digital clock, but by the time we got out of the store, the clock in the car said 6:22. I was so upset. I've never gotten that close since."
"I've never caught more than 3 in a row."
"I wonder what would happen if you caught the Fantastic Five and 11:11 as well," Romy mused.
"They say that if you wish the same wish on all of them, it's guaranteed to be granted. Plus, you get a bonus wish as well, for free," Destiny said with authority.
"Sounds like extra credit in school."
"Hey, Romy, did you ever wonder who they is? You know, how they say something will happen, or they think the world is changing?"
Destiny asked. Romy flopped back on her pillow and grinned at the darkness. She and Destiny often had the same weird questions, and this was one she had considered often.
"Yep," she said. "I think I figured it out."
The they that everybody talks about as experts on everything is women.
"Women?"
Destiny repeated.
"Yeah. Men will never admit that women know everything. So when you hear the statement that they say the ozone layer is disappearing, you'll know it's a woman's opinion being quoted by men."
"I like that. One day I'm gonna catch all those times on the clock," Destiny promised herself.
"I wonder what they will say."
"They will say that history has been made, finally."
"By a woman, of course," added Romy.
"Of course." "Good night, Romy. Dream on."
The last time I talked to Julio on the computer, he signed off with, "Sweet dreams."
"See there? You're guaranteed no bad dreams."
"Destiny?"
"Yeah?"
"Thanks."
"For what?"
"Nothing. Everything."
"Good night, Romy."
"Good night, Destiny. Julio's coming over tomorrow."
"Sleep."
"Okay." Chapter 34. Sunday morning. Destiny woke up first. She looked around, glanced at the clock, and tried to remember if she had dreamed at all. She felt mellow and well-rested, and she seemed to remember music, Not the tinny tape from last night, which mercifully had shut off after 35 minutes, but loud, powerful, stimulating music. Then she remembered.
Romy, wake up! I saw him! My soulmate!
Who? Romy asked groggily. She always slept hard, and she didn't awaken easily like Destiny. Romy didn't like early mornings, and lately, she didn't like dreams either.
My soulmate, Destiny insisted. The system works. What about you? Did you dream of Julio?
What's wrong?
I'm not sure. I did dream, but it's hazy and unclear.
Was it Julio? Is he your soulmate?
Yeah, I did dream of Julio, but it wasn't a good dream, Romy said slowly, trying to remember.
It was the same dream again. We were running, and there was water all around, except this time there was fire, too. The water was on fire, I think. We were both screaming and... I don't know. I can't remember anything else. Maybe that stupid system does work. But I thought it was supposed to give you a good dream. What's all this stuff about fire and water?
That's proof it works, declared Destiny. Don't be afraid. Your star signs are fire and water. I knew the scientific soulmate system was worth the money.
Destiny, I've been having that same dream for weeks now. For free.
No, Romy, you had it this time because of the candle and the music and the ointment.
Destiny was determined to be a believer.
What about you, Destiny? You dreamed about your soulmate? Yes, I saw him. But I'm not sure what he looks like. I kept seeing this rainbow. Colors all around. Red, blue, bright orange. The rainbow kept me from seeing his face clearly. But I could tell he was fine. So fine. And I think he had freckles.
Destiny got out of bed and danced around the room.
Freckles? Was he black? I don't think so. But I'm not sure. I remember something else. There was music. Lots of music. Loud, glorious, clanging music. And opera music.
Maybe you will get to the prom after all. Opera music? That was a nightmare. Romy scratched her head and yawned.
I don't think this was prom music. I think I'll have to expand my musical appreciation to opera too, because this dude is just too fine to pass up. I'll educate him about real music later.
What's his name?
I'm not sure. But I know he's a Taurus, or maybe his name is Taurus, or Tehran, something like that. But he's strong like a bull, and you know that Taurus is the only sign I can marry, because that is my only cosmic match. And there are no boys in Cincinnati who fit the description.
That's what you say. Where does this dude live, Destiny?
I will meet him in London.
London? When will you get to England?
Doesn't matter. He will wait for me until I get there. He knows of me and is waiting now. It might be months, but I will know him when I see him, and he will know me, just like you and Julio.
I like your faith, but the prom is just a few months away.
I may have to go to the prom with a lesser soul. In the meantime, I better find out where I can take music lessons. I must be ready for when my true soulmate comes into my life.
Destiny sighed with acceptance. Speaking of ready, looks like I'm gonna get good weather for this afternoon.
and I only have 8 hours to get ready.
Sorry I can't stick around, but I promised Mom I'd let her take me shopping this afternoon after church. Destiny gathered up her bags.
You're so kind to her.
Yeah, she needs me. What else would she do with her money if she didn't have me? Call me after Julio leaves. I want to hear every single detail.
You got it. Destiny dressed quickly and ran to the kitchen.
You got any donuts?
She yelled up the stairs to Romy. Look on the second shelf of the refrigerator, Romy called down.
Got it. Thanks, Romy. See ya. Call me tonight.
You get the first report with all the juicy details. Promise. With that, Destiny breezed out the door to her car. Chapter 35. Sunday Afternoon. Romy checked the mirror one last time, then checked again. Her hair was perfect, makeup understated, her clothes casual but enticing. She had changed 6 times that afternoon, but just as she predicted to Destiny, she ended up wearing Destiny's green outfit. Destiny's red hair seemed to fight with the green sweater and slacks, but Romy's soft brown hair and golden brown skin complemented the green. She had brushed it back and held it with a hair comb. It looked casual and unplanned, even though she had worked for that look for hours. Satisfied finally, she went downstairs, checked to see that the dishes were put away, the counters were clear, and the living room neat and tidy. Max, the black Labrador retriever, had slipped in the back door. She chased him out and wiped up the floor where he'd left paw prints. She even ran the vacuum. Her mother watched in mild amusement. Romy had never shown this much interest in the cleanliness of the house. "Everything looks fine, Romy," she called. "Just relax, dear."
"I don't want him to think the wrong thing about us," Romy told her mother. "I want everything to be just right," she added as she fluffed a pillow on the sofa.
"This young man must be really something, Romy." Romy smiled broadly.
"Oh, Mom, he is. I don't know why or how, but he makes me feel like I can fly."
"You met him at school?"
"Well, it's a long story, but yes, he's a transfer student from Texas," Romy answered. She knew that trying to explain all the details of how they first met online would cause too many questions from her mother.
"New students from other places are always fresh and so much more interesting than the kids you see every day, right?" her mother said. "And if the new student is a boy, then fireworks are likely to happen. Am I right again?" Mrs. Capel smiled.
"You're pretty smart for an old lady, Mom," Romy teased. She dodged as her mother tossed a sofa pillow at her.
"You better watch it, kid," she warned.
"This old lady is armed."
They chased each other for a moment, laughing and giggling. They landed together on the sofa just as the doorbell rang.
"He's here!"
Romy touched her hair again.
"So, open the door,"
her mom said, pushing her toward the door.
"You open it, Mom," Romy insisted. "I don't want to look like I'm too anxious."
"Okay, if you insist." She made a face at Romy, opened the door, and smiled graciously at the nervous young man standing in front of her.
"Good afternoon, Mrs. Capel. I'm Julio Montague."
"Come on in, Julio. Romy is expecting you."
"Get down, Max,"
she said to the big black dog,
who greeted Julio as if he were his best friend. Max knows how to open the back door, and he keeps sneaking inside to get away from his kids, I guess. Max is our retriever daddy. He's not much of a watchdog, much too friendly and lovable. Mandy, the mom, is out back with the puppies. She's a golden retriever. Have you had a retriever before?
No. I had a German Shepherd back in Texas, but we had to leave her when we moved.
Julio was glad the dog was there. He rubbed the dog's fur, grateful to have something to do. Max, of course, was pleased to have so much attention.
That must have been rough. What part of Texas are you from, Julio?
Mrs. Capel looked around for Romy, who had disappeared into the kitchen.
I am from Corpus Christi. All my relatives are from Mexico, but I was born in the U.S.
That's really interesting. So I guess you... Oh, here's Romy. Your friend from school who wants the puppy is here, Romy.
Romy completely ignored her mother. She didn't notice that Max had gotten into the house. She saw only Julio. She smiled.
Hola, Julio, Romy said, trying not to act as nervous as she felt.
Hola, Romy. I like that outfit. You look like a beautiful flower. Una flor hermosa.
Thanks, Julio. You always say things so fancy. It's really cool.
Romy blushed, pleased that he noticed, and pleased that he thought she looked good.
When I see you, I see poetry,
he whispered low enough so her mother wouldn't hear. Romy grinned.
Wow, you're too much. I'm gonna have to keep you around.
Mama, we'll be in back.
Romy headed with Julio toward the back door. Her mom was collecting her keys and purse.
That's fine, dear. I'm on my way to the shop. I just have to do a little paperwork, so I should be back by 6. We'll have dinner then, okay?
She picked up her briefcase and paused at the front door. Lock the door if you leave the house. Call me if you need to.
You two behave yourselves, you hear me?
We're just looking at puppies, Mom, Romy declared innocently.
You say puppies, I hear poetry. I wasn't born yesterday, you know.
Her mother gave her a smile.
Okay, Mom, I know what you're saying.
Romy was glad her mother was so perceptive. It was easier than having to tell her everything. Lots of times, she just depended on her mother's intuition to figure things out. Then they'd talk about it.
Give me a hug, Romy. If you keep grinning like that, your face is gonna pop.
Call me at the shop, okay?
Mrs. Capel seemed pleased that her daughter was so happy. Julio watched the two of them closely.
Okay, Mama.
Romy couldn't hold in the smile, even though she tried.
See you later. I've got to get to the shop now. Bye.
She left, and they could hear her car pulling out of the driveway. Julio and Romy were alone in the kitchen, with Max wagging his tail cheerfully between them. Romy smiled as they headed out the back door to the pen where the puppies were kept. The four puppies started yipping and jumping as soon as they saw Julio and Romy head their way. Julio grinned as soon as he saw them.
Oh, they're awesome. Two black ones and two gold. It's hard to decide. I know I want one of the gold ones. Oh, this one is so small.
He picked up the smallest puppy and cuddled it in his arm. Romy nodded.
I knew you'd pick that one.
She reached for one of the black puppies.
Come here, puppy.
Oh, you're so soft. I can't bear to part with them, Julio. I want to keep them all, but 6 dogs is too much even for me, the dog lover. And my mom is about at her limit. I was the one who convinced her to let Mandy have 1 litter before we got her spayed. So what shall we call your little one there?
How about Taco?
Suggested Julio as he let the little dog run.
Perfect! She's the same color as a little taco shell.
Both were quiet for a moment, watching the puppies romp and roll in the grass. Finally, Julio spoke.
Your mom seems really nice. I can tell the two of you are really close. Do you think your mom approves of me?
She liked you. I can tell, Romy assured him. And she smiled that I know what's going on smile at me. She knows me pretty well.
Does she approve?
Julio wanted to know. Romy thought for a moment.
She doesn't disapprove. She trusts me.
Julio frowned, remembering the words that had passed between him and his father. I had a big argument with my father last night. His father's words and stiff refusal to change still made Julio angry.
About what? Romy asked gently.
Julio sighed.
You, me, life, fear, stuff like that.
Why about me? He doesn't even know me.
I know. That's what I told him. But he's set in his ways, and he is afraid. We left Texas because of fear.
I'm not afraid of fear, Julio, Romy said clearly. Your father will learn to understand.
I hope so, Julio sighed. We don't talk very well together.
They closed the gate to the dog pen and carried the puppy into the house. It seemed content to rest in Romy's arms and never looked back at the family it was leaving. Julio looked around at Romy's house.
You have an awesome house, he remarked. I didn't think it would be this
big. Yeah, it's pretty big, Romy admitted. We moved here about 5 years ago. I don't think about it. It's just home.
It reminds me of my grandfather's house, big and airy and full of love.
The grandfather with the 7 wives? Teased Romy.
Only one at a time, retorted Julio. Will you walk me halfway home, Romy? He asked. This has really been live, and I don't want it to end yet.
Sure, she replied. Let me get my jacket. Look, Taco fits in the pocket. Have you got food and stuff?
Yeah, I bought puppy chow, and we found an old blanket. Little Miss Taco here is even gonna sleep with me.
I'm not gonna even touch that line, Romy laughed. Let's go. Julio stopped by the door. He looked directly into Romy's face. She met his gaze with a smile.
I like your smile, he said quietly. And you're very pretty when you laugh.
Romy tried not to blush. She didn't want him to know how much like jello her insides felt. I have got to keep you around, she quipped. You make me feel good. She tried to change the subject. It's a cool day, but you can tell spring is coming. You like it here in the spring? Everything is pale green and yellow, and even the air smells good. That made Julio think of home.
You ought to see Corpus Christi in the spring, he countered. Things grow there that Cincinnati hasn't even discovered yet. You'd love it, full of color and brightness, just like you.
They headed out the door and into the cool sunlight. It was March, which meant it could snow, or it could be 75 degrees. But the day was brisk, and their jackets felt good. A hint of green dusted the ends of the branches. They walked quietly in front of a long bank of trees that led to thick woods behind. They took turns holding the puppy, laughing as she chased leaves when they put her down. "I like to walk this way," mused Romy. "This area is called London Woods. It's what's left of what was probably acres of forest back when the world was young. It's all the developers left when they built these houses. I like to come down here in the summer and listen to the trees."
"Do the trees talk to you, Romy?"
asked Julio seriously. She didn't seem surprised by his question. "Yeah, you know, they do. You know what I mean. I like the breezes and the silence."
"I can feel the magic in the air and the breezes, too," Julio admitted. "But that's just not something you tell the kid who sits behind you in history class. It's the kind of thought I usually keep to myself."
"I knew you'd understand," said Romy. "There's so little left of natural stuff in the world." They looked at the trees together and listened as the branches whispered. "Destiny says you are magical and passionate. She's into star signs. You believe in that stuff?"
"It's hard not to believe when Destiny's around."
"She's a trip for sure," said Romy. "But she keeps the ride interesting."
"She's a lot like Ben," Julio replied. "Both of them are kind of free-spirited in their own way. It's hard to fit either of them into an ordinary box."
"You got that right," Romy smiled. "It's nice having company for my walk."
"Do you often walk down here by yourself? Are you sure it's safe?"
"It's only a couple of blocks from home, and I usually have Max with me."
"Max the Wonder Dog? The watchdog that hugs the robbers first and barks later?"
"I see you've got Max's number." Romy laughed. "But at least he's good company for a walk in the woods."
"Better than me?"
"No, you're better, because you don't stop and pee on every tree."
"I could, if you like."
Romy giggled.
"No,
but thanks for offering." They laughed and had almost reached the halfway point where Romy would leave Julio and go back home. Julio glanced behind them.
"Hey, Romy, do you see that car? He's driving awfully slow."
She turned to look. "I'm not sure. Wasn't it behind us on the last block?"
"I think you're right. Let's hurry up. My house is still a couple of blocks away. We'll go there. I'm not letting you walk home alone."
"Julio, they're following us. I can't see in the windows. They're blacked out."
"He doesn't look good, Romy," said Julio.
But then he tried to ease her fears and said,
"But it's broad daylight on a Sunday afternoon. We should be okay."
"But there's nobody out, Julio. Nobody walks anymore. And that car is still there."
"Just keep looking straight ahead."
They walked faster and tried not to show their fear.
"Should we try to find a payphone?"
"There's one about two blocks down, but there's nothing here but trees and woods." Just then, the car stopped. The four doors of the black Cadillac opened at the same time. As if on cue, four purple-hooded youths eased out of each door simultaneously. They slammed the door shut in unison as well. It was well rehearsed and as intimidating as they meant it to be. They walked slowly toward Romiette and Julio.
They all wore dark shades, and none of them smiled. They did not speak. They just stared. Only the puppy seemed unconcerned by the scene unfolding. She was asleep in Julio's pocket. Romy was frightened, but refused to let it show. She whispered,
"What should we do, Julio?"
"Relax," he whispered back.
"Don't act scared."
"I'm not that good an actress." Finally, the tallest boy spoke. It was the same one who had threatened Julio in the bathroom that day.
"What's up, man?"
he said to Julio, looking at him as if he were gutter trash.
"Nothing much,"
Julio replied, his voice steady. He was more angry than frightened at this point.
"You in trouble, Romy yet?"
the purple-hooded boy said to her.
"Your mama know you out with this foreigner?"
"Mind your own business, Terrell," Romy retorted. Julio could barely control his anger.
"You're the one who's gonna be in trouble. Me and Romy ain't got nothing to do with you." "Shut up, Tex-Mex," Terrell replied.
"Leave us alone, Terrell," yelled Romy. "Who I walk with is none of your business."
"I was just checking on your safety, Romyette,"
Terrell replied slowly.
"I just want to tell you that it might be safer to walk alone. You know what I'm saying? Instead of walking with whatever trash is blowing on the street. You know what I'm saying?"
"Don't you threaten her." Julio was ready to fight.
"And what you gonna do about it, Tex-Mex? You can't beat us. And we checked with our boys in Texas and found out you ain't in no gang. You ain't got no protection at all now, man."
Terrell knew he had the upper hand.
"I ain't afraid of you," Julio yelled. "Just watch me wipe you all over this street."
Julio knew he would get destroyed, trying to fight four boys at once, but his anger had taken over his reason, and he hated feeling weak and helpless. He wanted to protect Romy, and he wanted to hurt those purple-wearing thugs. He lunged toward Terrell. Julio was met by the barrel of a gun in his stomach. He inhaled and stood very still. Terrell grinned with victory, but no laughter was in his face.
"Hey, look at Tex-Mex, trying to fight me." "Back off, Tex. Fists ain't no match for the steel of this gun here."
Julio backed slowly away from the gun. His reason had returned suddenly. His anger remained, but he was no fool.
"You can't do this," Julio declared. "I'll fight all of you."
Romy, trembling and quiet, hoped Julio wouldn't try. Terrell waved the gun at both of them.
"Don't even try it, Tex. We packin', all of us. So just stand there in the dirt and listen. This wasn't planned to be no killin', but it could be. Don't make this be more than it's supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? Stay away from Romy yet, or we'll hurt you. That's a promise. And Romy, if you continue to hang with Tex-Mex here, we can't promise to protect you anymore."
"I don't want your protection," she shouted. "Just leave us alone and crawl back in the hole you came out of." Terrell laughed his humorless laugh and breathed his hot breath directly in Romy's face. She didn't flinch as he stared. She just looked at him with eyes of anger and frustration. Then, with one swift lunge of his arm, he pushed her down into the dirt.
"Oops, there goes the neighborhood," mocked Terrell. "Looks like Romy tripped and fell. Better be more careful, Romyette. This is a warning. We don't play."
Julio could take no more.
"Don't you touch her,"
he shouted. He tried again to lunge at Terrell, but the other three devil dogs stepped in and held Julio back. Terrell put the gun in Julio's face.
"Don't make me use this," he warned. "We outta here. We done said what we had to say."
They walked slowly back to their car, knowing they wouldn't be chased or stopped. They opened the four doors together, slid into the seats, and closed all four doors in unison. They drove off in a clutter of dust and road debris, tires screeching. Then all was silent. Romy was crying now.
"You okay, Romy?"
Julio asked gently.
"Yeah, I'm fine, but I'm scared enough to pee and mad enough to spit."
"I'd like to do more than spit.
Why are they sweating us?" Julio could still smell the steel of that gun in his face.
"Let's get out of here, Julio. Just take me home, please."
"Sure, Romy," Julio replied.
"You know, the only one who never noticed a problem was little Toco here. She slept through the whole thing."